have been on a journey this summer through a book of the Bible that is really a collection of collections of real people reflecting on their real life and their experiences in it. And the collision, this word is coming to me today, of those things with a real God, with his revelation of himself, his revealing of himself, his intervention, his presence in those moments. And so it's been an interesting journey. We've had several people speaking and sharing from their lives and from the lives, the writers of the Psalms. And a couple of weeks ago, we encouraged you all to engage in an experience that these writers engaged in so many years ago and had you write your own Psalms. Now, I know that that is not something that many of us have experience with, and so for those of you that have done so, I celebrate that. I say, wow, like how brave you are to really slow down and give yourself space to reflect on your own life in that way. For those of you that didn't have time, because there's plenty of us that didn't, for those of you that were just maybe a little intimidated by it, I also celebrate that, because after all, this is real life, and we are real people living it. I will say to you that an idea was born as these submissions started coming in, and as I heard from more people that said, I'd really love to, but I can't get it done for this week, that we would like to keep the offer open, keep the invitation open for you to write your own psalm and submit it to us via email. You can send it right to me. And we think we have enough people that are interested in doing that to actually make a collection of psalms of our very own people, of our very own family. And I find myself inspired by that thought, and I hope that you do too. If you still need some instruction on how to do that, on the welcome table in the back, there are some write your own psalm cards still available. Just pick those up. It's pretty self-explanatory. If you have questions, you can also call, email, or text me, and I'll be happy to help you with that. Or you can check into 2 weeks ago, we launched that idea, and you can actually go back into fivestones.org/sermons, find that sermon and listen to it, and the instructions are a bit more expanded. So there's a couple of ways for you to engage it. Would love for you to do that. Would love for us to be able to publish a book of Psalms from Five Stones. So please consider doing that. Those of you that did submit, there were more of you that submitted these than we have discerned we have time to present today. So we chose four to present today, and we're going to do it in a format like this. The first person is going to read the psalm that they wrote, and they're going to explain to us where that comes from. So be prepared for some depth, right? This is a real person sharing their real life in a relationship with a real God. Then we're going to read a couple of anonymous ones, and we're going to invite you to help us all understand what we just experienced. So we'll be asking questions like, what do you learn about the writer when you hear this psalm? What do you learn about their relationship with God when you hear what they wrote? Because the whole purpose of this series was to get us to zero into our own lives and to figure out that it's okay to have real emotions and real pain and to express real things with God. And then we're going to close with another person reading their own and explaining it to us. Then we're going to experience, the children are going to come up and express some things to us through music and dance, and the waving of flags, some worship in body movement. And then we're going to close with something we don't do here often. We're going to close with a call and response based on Psalm 136, where I will read the first part of it, and then you'll learn your part really quick. You will respond to what the writer of the psalm has proclaimed with a really particular phrase that we want to close this series with. So I'm looking around the room. Is Shauna in the room? Shauna, there you are. You are seated in a place I wasn't expecting. Joking around earlier about all our assigned seats here in this room. Shauna, I mentioned this to you via text, but thank you for doing this. I think you're brave, and we look forward to hearing what God, you and God have been doing together here in the midst of this. Thank you for sharing this.
Many of you know that I lost my best friend, Carol, to a blood cancer called multiple myeloma in of a lot of faith, and there were a lot of us praying for her continually, asking and believing God for his healing. And it didn't turn out the way we hoped. And so I wrote this in that vein, but also knowing and watching how God had been so present with us through it all, and the gifts that he gave us through that journey, and the way that he changed us and even refined us through that process, and the way that Carol just really abandoned herself in God's love and presence, even as she was suffering so much. And it was really a privilege for me to get to walk with her through that. It was obviously very difficult. So this is what I wrote. I haven't put any music to it, but it's composed like a song. It didn't happen like I thought it would, but that doesn't change who you are. You are good. You are present. You are kind. You are love. You are life. You are fire. It didn't happen like I prayed it would, but that doesn't change who you are. You are good. You are present. You are kind. You are love, you are life, you are fire. So come in the wind, come in the rain, come in the shaking and depth of my pain. Come with your heat, come with your fire. Come take the dross and remove the mire. So come in the silence, come in the sigh, come in the breaking, come in the dry. Come with your water, come with your flood, come with your cleansing, come with your blood. You have something new in mind. So I know that Carol is restored in the presence of Jesus, and that she's experiencing that wholeness and fullness of life with him. And I know even in our process and with me that he was doing something new in all of us that walked with her. So that was really, if I was gonna have a tagline, it would be that you have something new in mind, and I have to trust you in that.
Thank you. Can we give her a hand? So this next psalm, written by one of our own, patterned after Psalm 40 and Psalm 41, a couple chunks of each of those. I'm going to read it, and here's what I want you to listen to. As I mentioned before, what do you hear about the life of the writer? What can we learn about their relationship with God? A real person living real life with a real God. I waited patiently for the Lord. He tuned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me from the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire, and he set me on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. He put a new love in my heart that trusts him and runs to him, for the Lord is my rescuer. Even my close friends whom I trusted have turned their backs on me. But you, O Lord, have mercy on me. When my heart grieves, you are there. When I need direction, you guide my path. When I fall, you comfort me. You protect me and watch over me. You have saved me when I was oppressed, and you have freed my soul from sin's grip. You are the Lord, my God, my Jesus, my friend. You help in times of trouble, and you are worthy to be praised. All of the days of my life, I will sing your praise. I will tell of your goodness and mercy. I proclaim your righteousness and will not seal my lips. I will not hide your love in my heart, for all will know that Jesus is the King of my heart and Lord of my life. Stay with me, sweet Lord, that I may praise you in morning and night, day after day, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. Amen. Somebody talk. What do we hear? What did you hear in that psalm?
I hear reiteration.
A reiteration of scripture. Good, good. What about the writer? What do we learn about the writer in their life?
Felt betrayed
by friends at some point. What else? Say again. Okay. The writer was seeking more, felt it, knew there was something more. Hope. There was hope there. It's good. Went through a tough time. You felt that, right? You felt the tough time. This is the power of poetry. As we said in the first week of this series, that poetry has an opportunity to express things deeper than just regular narrative does. And it did express that. I'm feeling it right now. Anybody else? What do we learn about the relationship with God?
Leaned on God.
Leaned on God. What else? Trusted him. I picked up on when everyone else backed away, ran away, betrayed, or left, God was there. God was there. God was there. So a very, very deep sense of his presence. What else? Definitely real. Any other comments on that one? I'm going to read you another one. Oh God, my God, you are faithful, loving, nurturing. You are my rock, my comforter. You are with me in time of light and dark. You are constant, never forsaking. You give me what I need, not what I want. You are my father, my friend, my mentor. You give my life purpose and meaning. Oh God, my God, you are deserving of all praise, all gratitude, and all worship. All of the things of this world and all of the things of heaven cannot compare to you. All the words, emotions, actions, and gifts I could ever give could not thank you enough for what you do and who you are. What'd you hear? What'd you hear? Glorification, gratitude, thanksgiving. What do we learn about the writer, their life? Recognizes God. So his relationship with God is, he's the man, right? What was over here? Christ-centered. I thought I heard somebody starting over here. No? No one wants to make eye contact. Grateful for what they have. Yeah, absolutely. This line jumped out for me. You are constant, never forsaking. Constant, never forsaking. That's something born of experience, right? How do you know? How do you know unless you've been in stuff and he's been constant and he's never forsaken you? Anything else jump out? They're on a mountain. You see them up there? At a high place. Yeah, it certainly feels like that. Gratitude. Yeah, thanksgiving. All the words, emotions, actions, and gifts I could ever give could not thank you enough for what you do and who you are. Some powerful language. Some powerful language. I want to invite someone else up now who has bravely committed to, I do have it for you, to read their own and explain it. You go, bud.
I'm going to just read it for you, and then I'll talk for a little bit. I've put so much time and effort into this way of living, and yet you've been so quiet. I've told so many people how good and how close you are, and yet you've been so distant. My friends have gone away as I've needed them most, and so it seems have you. My pillars have crumbled, dead from age and pain in their own hands. And so, I fear, have you. So many things that have been in my life longer than you have been taken away so violently, so quickly, and so thoughtlessly. I've lost my trust that you wouldn't also be gone, that you care, that I could ever really know you or feel you. I would love to find peace in your presence, but my anxiety holds me. I need your help. So one of the last times I talked to you all was at the end of 2018. And I asked you to take the whole year in review. And I shared a little bit with you about what had happened to me in 2018. My wife and I welcomed the coolest little baby boy onto this earth. And that was very good. And then right at the end of the year, one of the most important people in my life, my grandfather, passed away, and it was a bad thing. And so I talked about living in that tension and how that was okay. And then 2019 started, and pretty shortly into it, my grandmother died. And I thought, okay, we kind of knew this was coming. It's going to be okay. But I was still grieving. It was still very hard. It felt like I was in a fog or that I was like a robot just continuing to do the things that I had done all the time but not really feeling anything about them. But it still felt okay. I figured that was part of the process. And then a couple months later, I woke up to a call from my mother. My best friend in the whole world. I met him in preschool. He took his life unexpectedly. And a pattern of anxiety that I'd had my entire life started to get out of control, and I found late in the spring that I couldn't function. I couldn't live normally anymore. I started to reflect on those 9 months and on years. I've been starting to question so many things, right? And that's what that psalm is about. Being isolated in grief and anxiety, I don't know if I can actually believe that God cares, that he is knowable. Maybe he exists, but he's probably ambivalent. And it really sucks to be stuck there. But it's a part of this process. It's a part of actually knowing God. When this whole thing started, this series and the prospect of doing this, I didn't know if it was something I could do because I didn't feel I was in a place where I could see any sort of positive turn on the end of all of this. And I'm still riding a horrific roller coaster. But there are moments of positivity. And if you're there, if you're in that place with me, there is an ending to it. I'm I'm not entirely sure where it is or when it's coming, but I know that it's there. And I want you to know that too. It breaks my heart sometimes when I'm up here singing words that I'm really singing to myself a lot of the time because I need to believe them more. I need to be comfortable with them, and I'm not right now. So if you're in one of these seats and you are feeling that same way, it's not okay, but it's okay. And it might not be okay right now, but it will be, I promise.
I'm not sure if the writers of the Psalms ever had to stand up in front of their congregation and share like Spencer did and like Shauna did. But you can feel this, right? You can feel the power of this. To call it an exercise seems to diminish it. The power of this practice, the power of this reflection of our real lives. And certainly, I identify with where Spencer is now. I've been there a couple of places in my life. It's a very real place, and it's a raw place, and it's a tender place. Same with where Shauna was and is still in some ways, as we reflected on the words of her psalm and the other writers. Just being in these spaces, it's very, very human. It's how we were created to interact with the world around us, to feel things, which means we hurt sometimes. We hurt a lot of times. I think one of the coping mechanisms that many of us have engaged successfully over the years as we've become adults is the numbing of those things. Kind of turning down the volume on that inner voice that's calling us to actually engage with our own lives. So if you read the Psalms, if you've been in this room today and you've heard these Psalms, it's impossible to escape the humanity in them. And our prayer and our hope, again, this whole time has been that you would find your own humanity in these words, in these poems, in these songs, in these praises, and in these prayers. And you will find the whole humongous range of human experience, the whole palette of emotions in the words of the writers of the Psalms. We offer that to you as a way of just maybe When you feel ready, when you feel comfortable, or when you feel uncomfortable enough to actually engage these as a guide into your own life, into your own heart, and into the ways that your real life collide with this real God, and that you'll find expression that lead you to these brighter days, these places where there is hope, these places where the kingdom comes right now in your midst. So as we prepare for the children to come up, I just want to close this moment with some prayer.